chapter 11 and verse 1. I'm not missing much today. Just a small word. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Amen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Amen. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Amen. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Amen. You cannot see it now, the completed work of God in you. Hallelujah. One day you will say this, the things which are seen, amen, were not made of things which are visible. I had nothing in the natural to put my faith into by my natural senses. Amen. But because I put my trust in the word, God will bring to pass what his word says about me, and I will see myself the way the word has described about me. Sometimes you sit here and you say, if I could see the Lord, just like the way the Lord revealed himself to an Oral Roberts or a Kenneth Hagin, if I could see the Lord, my faith would be charged up. I would read a book on Kenneth Hagin or Oral Roberts and I would say, oh my God, these guys have wonderful visitations from you, Lord. If I could have the same visitation, if you could just walk into the room, sit across the table and speak to me and share with me something, I am sure my faith would be strong. The Lord told me no. Because it is with your natural senses that you are seeing. And then you would every time want something to gratify your natural sense. Are you with me? Every time you would need an experience with your natural senses itself. But blessed are those who believe in me even though they do not see. Amen. So your faith becomes really strong when you cannot see something with your natural senses, but you put your faith in the word and God brings you to pass. You hear that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes it might look a lot more worse. Sometimes it might look a lot more worse. Do you remember in Mark's Gospel chapter 9? Open with me there. Just sharing something here. Mark's Gospel chapter 9. There is somebody who is coming to the Lord with a baby, with a child. For the child is demonically possessed. We know that part. And the father of the child is coming in saying, Lord, help my unbelief. You remember that? The 9th chapter? And the Lord is commanding. This baby's got a problem. The Lord is commanding in the 25th verse. You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him. No more. Now look at the 26th verse. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead. Have you even prayed for something? It's God will put more words. Amen. You hear that? It looked like it's got a little bit more words. With just deafness and dumbness, you can manage with that. But now it looks dead. The whole person is dead. And especially a time when this man had said, help my unbelief. It looked a little bit more worse. Hallelujah. And I believe there is always a storm, or it is said that the real darkness is just before the light.
Amen. Now we do this. It looked like it that God was, but the Lord had different plans. Amen. This boy became well. He became completely healthy and whole. So what am I trying to tell you this morning? I'm not preaching here this morning, but this is what the Lord put into my heart. Looking at certain situations in your life, you're praying. And it looks like it's gone worse, but still put your faith in the Word. Amen. See, if you fear something, that fear will control you. Or what you fear will actually control you. If you're always having a fear, will I backslide, that very fear or the very thing that you fear will control you. Are you with me? Fear is not a controlling force. And that is why a Christian's walk, Hebrews 11 is speaking about a believer's faith. Romans 10:17 is speaking about an unbeliever. He has to hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing the word, and the word should be that of Christ. But when faith has come, when the seed of faith has come, he needs to know that he's born again, he's got regenerated life inside of him. He needs to stick with the word. Are you with me? There needs to be substance for his hope. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? And then it comes to pass. What you fear will control you. Remember that. Most of you are in bondage to the things we need, the very things that you fear. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Look to 2 Kings chapter 3. Second Kings chapter 3. Yesterday night I was traveling after the crusade. And the night we were coming, and the driver instead of me, I mean driver was sitting in the car with me. He began to cough. And suddenly the devil is putting in my mind, SARS. And I said, I have to lower the window. I shouldn't put on the AC. Hallelujah. Second Kings chapter 3. Something amazing here. Verse 16 and 17. The Lord is saying through the prophet Elijah to the king of Israel, this is what he said. Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you and your cattle and your animals may drink. Amen. Obeying my word, the prophet is saying, dig some ditches. You haven't seen rain for a long time. You haven't seen revival for a long time. And if you're going to look to see that there will be clouds, if there's going to be a wind, there's nothing in your natural senses that will tell you that the rain is going to come. But still obey me and dig those ditches, because if you do it, you will see the hand of God functioning. Amen. There was nothing in the natural senses to show for that the rain was going to come. If you're a minister of the gospel, sometimes you know it. You know, we had a crusade just the last 3 days. And the first night, I'm sitting there, and hardcore Pentecost, and a man of God who called me, he told me, listen, this is the place where all the great men of God have come and ministered. This is a place of Pentecostal revival. Hardcore Pentecostal believers for the last 20, 30 years. Hard soil, and there's nothing that's going to happen. It's going to be a real test of faith. So I'm standing there, and the first night, such a struggle. If nobody worshiped, you know, they moved out of one tradition to another tradition. Out of one ritual to another ritual. And I said, Lord, that's not what I want. And I said, what do I do? So I stood there the first day, and the first day's ministry, I go back home and got totally dejected. The people came, the organists came and said, good, it was fantastic, wonderful. You know, the land has never seen a revival, and this is
there's a hard land, it's a hard stronghold, and it's good. But in my spirit, I wasn't happy. And I went back into my room that night and I said, Lord, what is happening? But there was nothing in the natural to show forth that there was something going to happen the next day. There was no wind. And as a matter of fact, the next day before I went, the thing inside of me was, I just want to run away. I don't want to go and stand there. I just want to run away. The Lord said, you obey me. You obey my word. You go stand there. That's why. And the second day, when I stood there, I said, Lord, help me. I did not know what to preach. I couldn't even room for scriptures. I couldn't remember anything. I opened the word. And then there was no wind. There was no sign of rain in the natural senses. But the glory fell.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The glory fell. Amen. The power of God just fell upon that place. The beauty of God just came down. What am I trying to tell you? Some of you are looking for experience. You're looking through your senses, natural senses, to get you something in life. But faith is a substance of things you hope. Well, there needs to be a substance in the hope that you have. And the substance is the word. You get that? When you put your hope in the word and still pray, amen, then God will bring to pass what He's promised in His word. Hear that? There is an unbelief of an unbeliever, and there is an unbelief of the believer. Now, the Lord told me the next day before I went, I was spending a lot of time praying for unbelief in the minds of the believers to go. Because they have been seasoned believers for 20, 30 years. It looks like they know everything from the Word, everything about the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, I felt that as if God would need a class from them. But then, hallelujah, there's more. Are you with me? The unbelief of the believer is the greater danger. Because he's heard so much of Word, he's seen so much of men of God ministering under the anointing. And a good man of God ministering under the anointing is like a cleansing upon you. And you believe you've done your part. You feel refreshed and good after service, you go off. But you have never applied your faith upon any word in your life. And week after week, you come to a ministry where the man of God is functioning under the anointing of God. You feel good, you feel charged up, you feel refreshed, you get up and go. But you've never applied your faith to any word. Are you with me? And slowly there seems to be a mindset that grips in of unbelief. So when the word of God is mentioned, you just want to hear something good, feel something nice, and go off. This is not an experience. But God wants more. Are you with me? He's called you with a purpose. He's got something more for you. So he says, listen, if you're saying you are going to walk by faith, there'll be nothing in the outward circumstances that show forth. The revival is going to come. The rains are going to come. The glory is going to come down. But you still have to obey me because I will honor my word. Amen. Hallelujah. The childlike faith to be that God can, He created the entire world. Things that are visible, I think, were made out of things not visible. Amen. And once a man of God was sitting in a chair and he saw something. He saw two children playing. And they were rolling a thing on the ground and playing calm. This man of God is watching. And after some time he looked at them again and he saw them taking their car out. And then playing as a play. And I was, hey, guys don't understand this. How could it be 1 minute before it was a car and now it's a play? Just, we make anything that we want it to be. The children said. And somehow God spoke to them and said, that's the same way with me. Your life might be on the ground rolling about like a car. Will I ever fly? Will I ever fly? God can make anything out of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He can make you fly like a blade. A little boy can do it. How much more can our God do? But you need to put your faith in the Word. You hear that? Is it okay if I preach like this? I'm so tired after yesterday. I mean, 3 days. It's an intense first service. We have a message on the Antichrist going on here. And that drains you of your spiritually. That's an intense message. The second service, I just want to keep it quiet. Just share something from the Word. Let's look to Mark chapter 11. The Gospel of Mark chapter 11. Before I share with you on when people pray, there's a prayer of faith that is needed to ask, to receive, and to apply. Long time back I shared that. But when I began to study the scripture, suddenly I understood, for you to ask, actually there needn't be any faith needed. You hear that? Because when you have a need, you will anyway ask. Hear that? When you got a problem, definitely you will ask. You will ask the Lord. He brought to you. And I will brought to you. Faith is not needed. And that's why people, year after year, week after week, they pray for the same thing again and again and again and again and again. There's nothing wrong with prayer. What I'm trying to tell you is faith is not needed. All that they're looking for is an emotional release in prayer. They just want to surrender their problem to someone and wait till God listens to them. So they just give everything unto Him. That's it. That's good. Hear that? But here faith is mentioned. And this is what the 24th verse says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You hear that? Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you've been asking a lot of things for a long time, but your faith only shows when you come to a place in your life where you say, I receive. Week after week you're praying, Lord, forgive my sin, forgive my sin, forgive my sin. I know the blood of Jesus makes an atonement for my sin. Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Week after week they're walking in guilt, just praying the same prayer again. But when have you come to a place in your life where you said, I receive your forgiveness, Lord? That's faith. You don't see it, you don't feel it, but I take God at His word. Once a father looked at the child and said, oh, even young father, even a Hindu will do it. That must be the same thing that God is saying about you. He shows you. Do you hear that? How can I never be him? Don't you know my problem? Ancestral curse on the world, family curse on the world, himself most curse on the world. Lord. Faith is when you say, I receive my forgiveness. If you're looking for a break, that's a deliverance. You might not see the wind. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You might not see the hand wind. Outside there might be nothing. But you just say, Lord, I take you at His word. And I receive my word. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's the way. Amen. And the more things that you're able to say from your heart, faith is always in the heart. Beliefs in the mind. We speak about faith in the heart. When you can say with your mind, I see. And sometimes your mind begins to have a headache. Mental gymnastics going on. That's not what faith is. Faith is in the heart. Are you with me? In your heart you say, to the Lord, I will see. I will see my provision, I will see my forgiveness, I will see my Lord. God says, I am so glad you did it. I've been stretching it out for you for a long time. I'm glad you did it. Hear that? See, even calling is by faith. When we come to be believers, come to a church, where a Bible is preached, and where the glory of God moves, and the time and again, when some man of God to prophesy over them, I must have prophesied over each one of you about 30 million times, if you have been here for the last 3 years. Somebody will tell you again and again, you're looking at prophecy to get you going. This is the natural senses, are you with me? But many people come to church week after week, year after year, and they still have a question. Even after sharing the gospel with someone, even after testifying, am I called? Does God need me? Then, Lord, I receive my calling. No more will we speak about that topic. It's finished. It's faith. Are you with me? Then we can go to the next step. Now what happens if you don't receive that? What happens if you don't go to the next step? See, it's when you receive by faith your salvation that sanctification can begin. So you wake up the week and say, I receive you, Lord. I need to feel something. Sanctification cannot begin. You hear that? When you're finished discussing that topic of having received the Lord, I received Lord on such and such a day. It's finished. Now Lord, let's speak about sanctification. Oh. Hallelujah. Your word declares by faith. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-17 says that by faith you sanctify me by your spirit and by your word. I receive by faith. Are you with me? You're receiving it. Now when you have done that, then you say, the next thing. But if week after week you say, oh, sanctify me, Lord. I need to feel something. You're looking for something outside. Now that's where the enemy comes in with doubt. Are you with me? But he doesn't come with doubt against your heart. He comes against your mind. That is why sometimes you receive something, but still when you go, you wonder why these doubts come. That's to be expected. Amen. The devil is no fool. Come on. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Is this still simple? But this will help. But I can come here on the anointing and minister, boom, boom, boom. I can be on fire and minister. You will enjoy, you'll feel good, you'll feel refreshed. But you have never really come deep with it. It's yourself to step into something. So week after week, I'll have to come and do this stuff again and again and again and again and again and again. I don't mind doing that for the Lord, but not for you, definitely. Amen. See, the gift of the Holy Spirit is by faith. You see that? It's by faith. When you're able to say, I receive. I remember, I would go week after week thinking, oh, how do I do this? As a minister of the gospel, how do I handle this situation? How do I handle this? And then it was, finally I came to a place in my life where I said, Lord, that's fears. And I got to a place where I said, Lord, I receive. I receive my ministry. I receive my call. No more doubts about it. No more questions about it. I receive. Then that which was necessary for me to fulfill my calling, I was able to receive again by faith. You hear that? Amen. Hallelujah. You witness my faith? Don't you?
You can't see anything outwardly. But you take the word and utter it, knowing that God will bring it to pass.
They said about a Wigglesworth.
Once Wigglesworth walked into a restaurant and he was having lunch. And when the lunch, what he ordered, came onto his table, he looked and he saw people all eating. So he got up. He clapped.
He said, "Gentlemen, I know I saw none of you pray for your food, but I pray for all of you."
And he grew.
How many people do that?
You walk into CBS or the Indian Coffee House or Taj Mahal,
Windsor Man or somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you might find it hard and funny to pray, but let me pray for all of you. Let's have our peace together and pray.
It's ministry by faith.
Hallelujah.
So here we have Mark 11 and verse 24.
"Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
There might be no sound of rain. There might be no sound of the wind. But what you need is the water. Let's open. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 3.
"You shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, and the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink."
Hallelujah.
I like it. Nothing is out of what I receive.
It says here, you know, when this prophecy was given, it was when Israel and two other nations were going for a battle against the whites. On the journey, they suddenly realized the cattle and the animals that have what to bring. So the king of Israel is summoning for the prophet Elisha comes. He has the minstrel play, he prophesies, and this is what he's prophesying. "You shall not see the wind, nor the rain, but the water shall come." Amen. Now when they did that, the principle that I spoke to you before, when you receive something, or when you obey somewhere, then the next step begins. Then God is saying, the next verse, "But this, but a tribal thing in the sight of the Lord, He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand." Hear that? Hear that? This is a small thing in the eyes of the Lord. You put your faith and you dug those ditches, and the next thing, because you applied your faith here, next thing also come to pass. What you want is the victory against Moabites. It will come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah.
Shall we stand in the presence of the Lord today?